There's one very simple reason why people decide to be Republicans or Democrats. There's a lot more power with one of those two big machines than if you try to win the White House all by yourself. Is that kind of corporate power dangerous or spiritually healthy?
Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friend. This is Kenneth Richards. We've been missing Lonnie this week as he concludes with speaking appointments across the U.S. and in Alberta, Canada. Lonnie will be back with us next week, the Lord willing, but we do appreciate having you join us and sharing in our prayers for both Lonnie and Jeannie. We're concluding a series today entitled Balloons and Ballots for Bob and Bill, and if you've been watching TV and the political conventions, you can guess what that's about. Lonnie and I both want to send you a special book this week as our gift. It's written by our writer-producer, David Smith, and entitled Heaven. I'll have more information on how to call or write for your own copy in just a few moments, but right now, let's begin our time of study together, shall we? Here's our title for today, The Global Influence of the Material Girl, whose birthday happens to be today. It's probably safe to say that every 4 years there's at least one vote cast for Donald Duck. In each presidential election, somebody looks down and says, Clinton or Dole? Bush or Dukakis? Nixon or Humphrey? These are my choices? Forget it. I'm going to write in Donald Duck's name again. Even with Ross Perot's effort 4 years ago, and he did amass quite a few votes from the United We Stand organization, the winner in the presidential race is generally the standard bearer of either the Republican or the Democratic Party. Why? Because there's power in numbers, that's why. People join parties because that's one way to make sure their own vote doesn't just get swallowed up in the political jungle. They can join in a common cause, unite with other like-minded citizens to actually win a presidential race. That's frankly why there is such a thing here in 1996 as a Christian coalition. This is the time of year when we do think about political parties. This week the Republicans have been in San Diego, and even though we're recording this program in mid-July, we assume that Senator Bob Dole will accept his party's nomination. In just a few weeks, President Clinton will do the same when the Democrats convene. And it's undeniably true that people who participate in one of these two fall campaigns have a better chance of celebrating on November 5 than, say, a member of the Greenpeace Party or Peace and Freedom or Libertarian or the DDSA, Donald Duck Supporters of America. There's a great danger, though, for Christians who get overly involved in the political process. And it comes down to one word, power. Politics is power, and all those who participate realize that fact. If your side wins, then your man occupies the White House. He picks Supreme Court justices. He vetoes or signs bills into law. He sets the tone and charts the future and establishes foreign policy and occupies the bully pulpit. And all of these perks are power perks. About halfway through his term, President Clinton told some reporters that he hadn't fully comprehended the power of the, quote, bully pulpit. He could make speeches, even long ones, and people would actually listen. He could tell teenagers to hold on to their virtue, to practice abstinence, and some of them would actually pay attention to him because, hey man, he's the president. I was 30 feet away from the president, and it makes an impression. How about for the Christian, though? For the man or woman who first follows the marching orders of heaven, power is a tool to be carefully picked up, carefully carried, and carefully used. You remember, I'm sure, what they say about power corrupting? Film writer Gary Ross once did a story about a man who looked just like the President of the United States. By a quirk of fate, he ends up in the White House impersonating the chief executive who has been felled by a stroke. At first, he just opens factories and visits homeless shelters and throws out the first pitch at Oriole games. But as he begins to understand the power of the presidency, he wants to do more to help people. His chief of staff, Bob Alexander, tells him to mind his own business and just stick with the ceremonial stuff, signing autographs and kissing babies. But when this fake president realized that only he can save some homeless shelters if he cuts $650 million out of the federal budget, he actually goes and does it. With the help of an accountant friend, he cuts the budget and saves the shelters. He can do it because he's president. Well, later, he reflects to a new friend on what he had just done. I liked helping those kids, he said wistfully. I liked saving those shelters. And it brings back to our minds a line new President George Bush used in his inauguration speech after the 1992 election. Use power to help people. It might be well for all the power brokers who are operating right now in both political parties to remember those compelling five words. Use power to help people. Actually, power can be a wonderful thing if it's used within the framework of those five words. Use power to help people. Friend, if you're involved emotionally in the 96 race, that's fine. Ask God to use you to lead America in the right direction. But the greater your enthusiasm, the more bumper stickers you have in your car, the more you need to prayerfully ask God to protect your wielding of power. Do you want to win just to win? To rub your opponent's noses in their defeat, their failure? Or do you really want to heal the hurting, nurture the innocent, protect those who are fragile? Do you really and truly want to use your power to help people? Jesse Jackson once turned the phrase around when he said, service is power. Service is God's will. In a very real sense, Christians have a built-in understanding of the concept that power comes from uniting together. For 2,000 years, that's precisely what the church has been about. Christians experience more power and exert more power when they come together than when they worship God alone, in hiding, in their closets, or on a desert island. Christians in exile, Christians in concentration camps and in enemy prisons have always known to press together to find power and fellowship. This is a common theme here at the Voice of Prophecy, and today is the perfect time to reiterate it. Spiritual power comes through the local Christian church very often. Almost every Friday, Lonnie and I encourage each of you to turn off your radios and go to your own Bible-teaching Christian church. We'll see you Monday, we say. Tune in again then. But in the meantime, you need to be in church. Now, friend, what kind of power are we talking about? Not political power or win in November power, but quiet spiritual power. Spiritual things happen when even two or three are together in Christ instead of alone, the Bible tells us. In a wonderful new book entitled The Contemporary Christian, evangelical writer John Stott says this about the local church. Any political party would be wildly jealous of the plant and personnel which are at our disposal. The churches in many countries have ample resources to disseminate the gospel throughout their land. I think of the network of radiant influence just in my own denomination. Now, Jackie and I could try to worship alone in our backyard. But what a wonderful thing to be part of a group that's 9 million strong and growing. When I'm part of the party, so to speak, then I'm part of it when new churches are planted, when missionaries are sent out, when hospitals are built, kids are given a Christian education and a huge system of Christ-centered schools right up through the university level. Being a part of the party, my two hands do part of the work in establishing orphanages, funding our church's relief group. ADRA, the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, one of the most advanced and efficient such groups in the world. But through it all, even in the church, those five political words need to ring through. Use power to help people. We have elections within the church too, you know, and sometimes ambitious men and women seek to climb up the church ladder. They've been on the conference level. Now they'd like to serve on the union level. Fine, that's wonderful, if they remember to use power to help people. As President Dave would say, use that power to save some homeless shelters, not just pose in a tuxedo at ritzy parties. On the very same page of John Stott's book, he goes on to observe that the Christian church exists not to preserve privileges and blessings for those in the club, but specifically to reach out in service to the others, to those not already in the church. He then quotes Archbishop William Temple, who says, the church is the only cooperative society in the world which exists for the benefit of its non-members. Well, that's quite a concept, isn't it? As we wrap up this red, white, and blue week of radio programs, friend, we have so much to thank God for. Freedom and religious liberty, the privilege of voting, the right of assembly, of free speech, of spiritual freedom. And yes, let's thank God that He sometimes gives us power. Power to help others, to be an influence. You may be one who can say a word or pick up a pen and write a line that touches many, many lives. you may personally sign many paychecks. If so, if you've risen to that position, then realize that it's God who lifted you up that high. God put you there, and now you have a responsibility to use your power to help people. Today happens to be the birthday of a rather popular young artist. A singer and actress named Madonna is 38 years old today, August 16, 1996. What's she doing with her power? Millions watch her on MTV, go to her movies, buy her CDs. What's she doing with her God-given gifts? Right now, she's carrying the baby of a young man she hasn't bothered to marry, and millions of young girls watch with great interest. How is Madonna wielding the media power that she possesses? And how about you, and how about me? As we vote, as we participate in the political process, and this vast organization called the Christian Church, how about you and me? All of us here at the Voice of Prophecy want to use our influence for the purpose of blessing others, of leading people to choose Jesus Christ and a home in heaven. And as we close our time today, this is the last opportunity we have to offer you a gift copy of David's book by that very title, Heaven. There's no cost, no financial obligation whatever, so we'd love to hear from you. Why not write us a letter today? Ask for the free booklet entitled Heaven. Here's our mailing address, The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. And remember, you're asking for Heaven by David Smith. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. We'll really appreciate it. This coming Monday, the Lord willing, Lonnie will be safely back with us as we begin a very interesting two-week series entitled A Suitcase Full of Faith. Is faith a thing? So that if you can stuff enough of it in your pockets, God has to do what you tell him? Many Christians are being taught that today, and it's a vital Bible subject. We hope you'll join us for all 10 studies. Until then, this is Kenneth Richards for Lonnie Milashenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
When Juventius Locobol and his friend climbed out of a mission plane near the village of Tinginamut, they were not at all certain what their reception was going to be. Locobol's first visit had not gone too well. He had been a student at a mission school when he felt called to take the gospel to people who had never heard about Jesus before. Arriving in Tinginamut, he made friends with the people and built a small chapel. Then tensions began building between two tribes. Locobol did everything he could to make peace, but it didn't work. And when war broke out, both tribes turned on the peacemaker. They threatened to burn down his chapel, and when he tried to protect it, they shot him in the arm. He escaped into the jungle with only his Bible and the clothes he was wearing. He made his way back to school, but when his arm had healed, he recruited a friend and again headed for Tinginamut to tell the story of the God who loves, to teach a way of life that is joy and peace. You know, we need to ask ourselves a question. How much are we willing to endure for the privilege of telling the gospel, for the privilege of living God's love? For Lifestyle Magazine and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I'm Dan Matthews.